Hello, and welcome to our CMD Bite Size series, where we explore a range of ministry and theological issues. I'm Rebecca Evans, Ministry and Parish Development Officer for Truro Diocese, and in this episode, I'll be talking to the Reverend Rebecca Bell, who has established a Baby Basics project in Liskeard, which covers the whole of Cornwall. So, Becca, before we get on to talking a bit more about Baby Basics, would you like to just introduce yourself, tell us a bit about what you do, your hobbies, etc.?
Hi, thank you, Rebecca. Yeah, I'd love to. My name is Reverend Becca Bell. I'm priest in charge of four parishes with five churches just outside Liskeard. Mum to three boys, husband to one husband. And for my hobbies, I love knitting. Often see knitting at any meeting because that helps me listen. Love walking, particularly out on the cliffs. And also love snuggling under a blanket on a cold day, which is exactly what I'm doing right now.
Okay, brilliant. That sounds wonderful. We haven't had any snow yet this year in Cornwall, not anything significant, but sounds like the right place to be as the weather's turning a bit. So, just to begin with then, what inspired you to consider setting up Baby Basics in your area?
I'd seen quite a lot about Baby Basics, particularly via social media from the other centres. At that point, I think there were about 49 centres around the UK. It started in Sheffield in 2016 and has grown from there. Each centre is independent in its own right, but we all come under the kind of auspices of the Baby Basics headquarters in Sheffield. So I guess I was very aware of the need that there is in Cornwall. And just felt increasingly like this was a good thing to do. I was also very aware that my churches are brilliant at doing food bank stuff and kind of had that desire to serve the poor, but there wasn't necessarily an outlet that we could own for it. So I wondered if Baby Basics could be a good thing for us to do as a mission project for ourselves. And I wanted to do something which felt safe. So if I didn't want us to overreach and end up letting anybody down. But I had a feeling that with Baby Basics, even if it was only ever me putting together the odd Moses basket for a family expecting a baby out of the cupboard under my stairs, that that was okay. And if it could grow into something more than that, that would be brilliant. But if I could do this on my own without having to worry about letting anyone down. I had a chat with a local health visitor who works for Cornwall Council, and I asked her if she could give me some stats on what the level of need might be. And it was quite shocking. She came back and said, just in the Caradon area, so around sort of southeast Cornwall, around Liskeard area, she reckoned at least five families a month were having babies in a situation where they had real need, real social and economic need. And that's just for my part of Cornwall. So I thought that was definitely a reason to press ahead. And that gave me kind of a good bit of spiel to apply for some funding to help us set up. So we started off, well, I started off, I got together a couple of other people who were up for it. And we pressed ahead in April 2021. We managed to get the funding together and to sort of pay our subscription to set up with Baby Basics UK, and we set up Baby Basics Cornwall.
Wonderful, that sounds great. And really interesting how you researched what the need was to begin with, because I guess that sometimes that can be quite challenging. You can think that perhaps there's a need, and then when you look into it, either that perhaps isn't the need that you thought there was, or perhaps in some cases people don't even look into whether there's the need there, they just sort of assume that. So I think that's really great that you looked into that at the beginning, but also really sad that you found how shocking those statistics were, particularly for a fairly small area of Cornwall.
Absolutely, yeah. In many ways, I wasn't surprised because I know particularly Liskeard, and one of my parishes is it contains Pensilver. St Eve Parish has Pensilver Village, and that's an area of quite high need as well. So yeah, it is shocking, but I wasn't surprised by the level of need. I think there's two things when you're setting up a project like this that you can easily fail to look at in your kind of passion to get things going, your excitement, and that is that, you know, what is actually the need? Is there really as much need, and is it in the area you think it's going to be? And the second thing is to look at what else is going on that might be seeking to meet that need and working alongside other people. There aren't many baby banks at all in Cornwall, so I quickly discovered there was plenty of capacity for a baby basic centre. So I felt confident on both fronts that we were definitely doing the right thing.
Absolutely, and thank you for highlighting that, because that is a really important point to see what else is going on out there, isn't it, before we leap into a project, however well-intentioned that might be. Sometimes our place is to add value rather than to start something. So
Oh,
thank you
absolutely.
for reminding us of that. So do you want to tell us a little bit about exactly what Baby Basics does? I guess to a certain extent it's sort of like does what it says on the tin, but tell us a bit about how it provides for people and how it's run, how people access it if they're in need.
Yeah, it's a really great model because it's a safe thing to do. The way in which we work is we work with professional social workers, charity workers, make the referrals to us. So what we're giving out are equipment, clothing, toiletries, the things that you might need for a baby or child up to 5 years of age. Initially, when we started, we were only doing up to 6 months. That changed after about 2.5 weeks of running because I had a referral for a baby who had an older sister who was two. And in that situation, it was kind of when we were still in lockdowns and the dad had been made redundant and the mum was pregnant and they just suddenly found themselves in a financial quagmire, really. So I put together the Moses basket, no problem. And then I asked a few friends I knew who had daughters, do you have some stuff I could give for the big sister? And very quickly put together a bundle of lovely clothes, including some gorgeous dresses and some toys and things, and sent that off to the family. The health visitor was delighted with it all. She took it off to the family. So that's how we work, is it's giving out whatever it is that family needs for their children up to the age of five. The health visitor or midwife will email us with a list of what's needed. There are one or two things we don't give out. So we haven't given out car seats, although we might start to give them out with very specific reasons in the future. We obviously can't give them out secondhand, so that's why we don't give them at the moment. But otherwise, there's lots of things we do give, from cots, Moses baskets, clothing, bottles, sterilizers, change bags, push chairs, prams, high chairs, all sorts of stuff. And actually, their health visitors can be quite surprised when they turn up with their little tiny kind of Fiat 500. And we have swinging cribs and all sorts. It's amazing what you can get into a small car, though. And we're very good at cramming stuff in. And they take it off to the family then. So that also has another really positive impact, in that in order to access our service, the family have to be accessing the healthcare and support that they should be accessing. I'm sure many of us who are parents might well have memories of at times feeling we should avoid the health visitor because they're obsessed with the weight of the baby and all sorts of things. And because having a baby is a really stressful time, even when everything's going well, and it can we can feel our confidence ebb away. But it's really important, particularly for families who are struggling economically, socially, you know, with whatever might be going on, it's really important they are accessing all the support that they're entitled to, especially seeing their health visitor and ensuring that they're getting all of the other stuff that they should be getting, because health visitors can signpost to grants and benefits and all sorts of things that the family might not be aware of. So in order to access us, they need to go via their health visitor, which can then open doors to lots of other support. So it's a little incentive, if you like, as well as giving the health visitors an excuse to go back and see that family and to continue to support them where there might be otherwise a little bit of shame and it might be a bit harder to get through the door. So that's how we operate, is with the help of these amazing people who work with families on the front line. And that's, I guess, the other secondary thing that's really helpful. These amazing folk, health visitors, midwives, social workers, charity workers, lots of people who work with young families, many of them really struggle in their roles because there's an overwhelming amount of pressure, particularly at the moment. And their caseloads are ridiculously huge, with some very complex families that they're supporting. And quite often the kit and the equipment, the very basic things like decent toys that would make the difference to a little one thriving in life, they can't access the funding necessarily to be able to provide that for the family. So if they can get it from us, it makes their job easier and it just takes a little bit of stress out of their job and out of their lives if they can easily make sure this family's got everything they need for baby to be able to thrive and be safe. So it's a huge privilege doing what we do. And there's a lot more in the way that it helps people than first meets the eye.
I can see it must feel like it actually is something that's making a real difference to people, because sometimes when we give to different causes and things, we can struggle to see the impact that it's having. But when you're that connected to maybe not the family directly, but to the health professional that's supporting them, you really get to understand and hear that difference, which is really important for those people that are donating.
Absolutely.
Okay, so in terms of the donations, how does that help? How does that operate? Is it a bit like a food bank, or is it a food bank, as in people just donate what they wish to donate as and when? Or is it more about kind of you putting out requests saying, this is what we currently need, perhaps a Moses basket, and then somebody donates a Moses basket? What does that sort of look like in that scheme of donations, if you like?
Yeah, so it's a bit of both. It's a bit of both. We've got a storage unit on an industrial site in Liscard where we store all of our donations, most of which are pre-loved. Babies obviously don't use things for very long. They grow out of them too quick. So a lot of baby items don't get a lot of use, and we get some fantastic donations that way. And families will drop them off to us. I think there's also a sense in which folk like doing that because it's a way of giving back. So as and when they're able to, people drop things off to us in the unit on a Wednesday morning, and we check things over, sort them out, and store them away in the unit. But then there are times when we run really low on things. So today I've just seen that there's a plea for 3 to 4 year old girl clothes, because we've obviously had a referral in for a little girl and we haven't got enough to meet the need for that referral. We do have a certain amount of cash in our account, which we could use to go out and buy what we need. But generally speaking, we find if we put the plea out that people say, oh yeah, I've got some, I need to go through a bag of stuff for my daughter or whatever. So I am confident that we will be inundated with 3 to 4 year old girl stuff next week and we won't know what to do with it. So yeah, it's a little bit of having to keep up with the demand, because that's the other interesting thing. We can go 6 months without giving away a high chair, and then all of a sudden we've got three going out every week and we can't keep up. So it's really difficult to manage the stock. We can't predict how it's going to go. And I think we've noticed patterns at times where perhaps particular professionals have had, maybe they've had a seminar on something, I don't know, where suddenly they all need a particular toy. Every family needs this and we're getting endless requests for it. So we try and meet that need with pre-loved stuff as far as we can. And if we really need to, we'll go out and buy things as well. And we also, because we are a centre that has quite a high level of referrals, we're linked into Baby Basics UK. And every quarter we get a pallet from Baby Basics UK. I love pallet day. I'm like a kid at Christmas when it's pallet day, because we get a load of cardboard boxes delivered by a courier from Sheffield. And it's all items from the national brands that support Baby Basics UK. So these are brands like Frugi, our own Cornish company. They support Baby Basics. So there'll be some Frugi outfits in there. Jellycat, Silver Cross are amazing at supporting as well. There's tons of them. And so we get all of this really lovely stuff. Silver Cross will always send one or two reconditioned pushchairs. So if you have a Silver Cross buggy, anyone that needs a new home, if you contact Silver Cross, they will come and collect it from you, or courier will, and they'll take it back to their factory, recondition it, and then send it out to a baby bank like a Baby Basics Centre. So yeah, that's how our donations work. And it's all down to the very hardworking team. And don't come near me if I'm walking around with bags of baby clothes, because I will give it to you to wash and bring the unit for us.
Wonderful. And it's great to hear that it's actually not just individuals that are donating, but also companies are getting involved as well. And the whole environmental impact about reconditioning pushchairs and reconditioning those goods as well, donating them so that they don't end up in landfill as quickly as they might. So that's brilliant. I wondered if there is a particular story that, since you've been working with Baby Basics, that has impacted you in your work, something that's really kind of hit home and made you really committed to why you're doing this?
There have been quite a few, actually. Because we don't work directly with the clients, it's really down to the professionals coming back and saying, oh, you remember that person? Or I once had a text message from a health visitor who had come to us for a request. And she texts me later in the day to say, I've just dropped it around to the family and it means the world to them. And I remember this one. The family had basically seen a bit of a change in circumstance, not because their circumstances had changed, but because benefits just weren't keeping up with the cost of living rise. And this family, they had a dependent adult daughter and then several other children. And the mum apparently was just desperate, because she has always managed to make ends meet. She's always managed to, you know, readjust things to keep them ahead of the finances and to make ends meet. And she just got to a point where she couldn't anymore. And she was distraught that she was failing her children, she felt. And so they'd come to Baby Basics. Well, the health visitor had said, look, I'm going to put you in touch with Baby Basics. I think this was probably a person who would have found that quite difficult, actually, as well. the thought of relying on charity, you know, other people have a greater need, I think, was what I was sensing from this person. So her story really struck me, that here's somebody who just thinks that they're failing when actually they are being failed by society at the moment. The safety net that should be there for them isn't. And it's a crying shame that we need baby banks or food banks. And I wish we didn't need them. But as long as we do, I'm going to make sure that as many families across Cornwall as possible are able to get the help they need.
It's really moving, isn't it? Especially for somebody that's coped for so long. Yeah. And then that being faced with that, being put in that position where actually suddenly you haven't changed, but everything else around you has, and that's no longer possible for you to provide, which is a really heartbreaking situation. So as we draw to a close, is there one thing you'd like listeners to take away from this podcast? And if there is one particular thing you'd like them to hear, what would it be?
I think the one thing I would like everyone to consider is give it a go. I really felt like this was something that I could try, and I wasn't going to let anyone down if I failed. And I think that's the really key thing, is to be willing to take those risks. Yeah, give it a go, and to build a team around you who catch the vision with you. It's a really exciting thing to do.
Well, thank you once again for giving up your time this afternoon and to join us. It's been great to hear a bit more about the missional work that you're doing and how that's impacting families across Cornwall and the level of need across Cornwall for those that sort of provision at the moment. So thank you very much for your time, Becca. It's been great to speak to you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate being able to share the joy that is Baby Basics.
If you've enjoyed this episode and you'd like to listen to more, please do follow and share. Thank you for listening.